Welcome back to the Electrify Podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo, North America's largest EV festival coming to a major city near you. All right, joining us here is president and founder of Electrify Expo and kind of the, let's call it the state of the nation, the state of the EV nation. And again, not just cars, but the cars and, you know, four-wheeled vehicles, let's call them that, have made a lot of noise lately in more ways than one. But the state of the nation of Electrify Expo 2023 is absolutely awesome. What a great celebration of all things EV, two-wheel, four-wheel, shift robot. I'm talking about mobility and just the excitement and no pun intended, electricity. But BJ, we kick things off by thanking you for joining us. And thank you for having me, you know, go down this journey with so many different special guests and topics and just all, again, all the buzz, no pun intended. BJ, thanks.
Man, you've had some great guests on, Jared, and done a great job. I've really enjoyed listening to them. I mean, I'd have to say that one of my favorite ones so far was Vaughn Gittin Jr. I loved hearing his perspective on going electric. It's so real. And it's exactly what we experience at Expo. Like the growth at Electrify has been massive. You know, when you put a business together and you put a plan together, you have ambitions. And you know, we are definitely maxing out those ambitions. And I think that the exciting thing around Electrify right now is that we have to continue to innovate as a brand and evolve as a brand so that we don't become stagnant or stale. Like what happens oftentimes in our industry, not in the EV or micromobility industries, but in the event industry, things can kind of just get monotonous and look the same year over year. And so we're going to continue to evolve but it's just been massive growth. I mean, to think back that our first show was only about two years ago, basically. And we've done 15 shows since, and we're adding eight more in 2024. I mean, it's been incredible. And I think it just marks how much curiosity there is about going electric and why Electrify Expo is so important. So yeah, we're really enjoying the growth. And man, we're looking forward to next year. Massive. We've added Denver, Phoenix, and Orlando. Perfect. To our stable of brands. So we're an eight stop tour. We start in March. The amount of manufacturers that are coming back is massive. So we're just going to continue to grow. And even in spite of some of the nonsense that's out there coming from car dealers about EVs, we don't experience that. And I hope we can get into talking about that because it's something.
Do it.
That I
just let's create the buzz, dude. Just go right into it because that's what people already kind of that are listening already know kind of about Electrify Expo. But I got to start with that again, giving you praise where praise is due. You've kind of spearheaded this whole movement, just about education. That's really what it is. But also the fervor of and capturing that. So when you hear in the news of, you know, like you said prior to us hitting live, you said the sky is falling. People are panicking and like EV and manufacturers and just consumers, you know, and you said it just at Electrify Expo. If you're a two car family, there's no reason why one of those should not be EV. And this is the dialogue that people are uncomfortable with or panicking or whatever. So just hit them with the kind of, you know, we're not fear mongering by any means, but kind of pulling the curtain back.
Yeah, I think Lauren did a really good job at Industry Day. So Lauren heads up EV adoption. And we have an event called Industry Day that takes place at Electrify Expo, which is just our opportunity to do a state of the union and bring in all the B2B brands, tell them what's going on. And Lauren did a really good job opening up Industry Day by saying, hey, look, the sky isn't falling, although there's plenty of people that would like you to think that the sky was falling when it comes to EVs. And what's happening, and look, when you produce the largest festival in the industry, you get the opportunity to meet a ton of consumers. So what's happened for me over the past 2.5 years doing the expo is we've burned through a wave of consumers, two waves. The first wave of consumers we burned through was this sustainability-minded, eco-conscious consumer that was all in on electric. They didn't have to be sold on it. They didn't really have to. They knew more than anybody could tell them about these cars because they dive into the data. They dive into the technology. And then the next wave of consumers was like the early adopters of tech, you know, early tech and people who want the latest, greatest thing. And we've gone through in the last 2 years, well, a year and a half or so, we've burned through that audience. And now, especially last year, And especially this year, oftentimes when you produce a festival and you're going into your next year, you think about last year.
Your mind's already there. I don't know if you could tell, BJ was an early adopter. So like, and he says that lovingly, saying burning through, basically they're already raving fans. They're already loyalists, right? So when you say burning through, we're not disposing of, you're already kind of capturing their passion and their motivation, right?
They bought an EV. They bought an EV. Mm-hmm. They bought their e-bike. They're in. They're totally in. But in the last half of 2023, we started to experience a lot of just everyday Americans. And I was having dozens of conversations with the thousands of people that come to our festivals. And it was the same conversation. Why are you here at Electrify Expo? I'm here because I went to a dealer and the dealer didn't know anything about going electric. Nothing. And so I came here to get my questions answered, right? So when you compound that event after event after event, you're obviously starting to see a pattern and a trend. And what we're experiencing in the trenches, you know, the trenches being consumers that are shopping for EVs, is that they're not getting their questions answered at the dealer level. In fact, it's building up frustration at the dealer level. And so they're looking for answers. And fortunately for us, Electrify Expo is providing those answers. But this isn't my point. My point is that, look, when's the last time you shopped for a car at a dealer, Jared?
To be honest, probably about 6 months ago, because we did buy a car for my son, and it's not an EV. It was a Toyota Corolla 5-door. He's a senior in high school. It's a perfect fit. You know, he's going to hit road trips. He's going to Northern Arizona University. The shoe fit. So, but 6 months ago.
And the person that sold you that car, and I know you're super connected, so you probably have buddies everywhere, but let's just say hypothetically.
They deliver the car. I'm kind of an anomaly. They deliver the car. I know the owner of the dealer. I work with Toyota. So yeah, I'm not your average consumer, but the point you're getting across.
All right. So to put your feet into the shoes of the average consumer who goes to a car dealer and is looking to buy a car, the person that's selling that car is incentivized by what?
You're getting a percentage. You're getting obviously a piece of the pie.
You're getting a rip, you know, to use boiler room term, you're getting a rip, right? Yeah. Whatever that rip is, you're getting commissioned and you are incentivized on a commissionable sale, right? Okay. Yeah. So I'm a dealer sales rep, and I have been selling combustion cars forever. I know everything up and down combustion cars. I am comfortable selling a gas car because I know about it. I can sell it. I not only know all the features and benefits of the vehicle, but I also know how driving a gas vehicle works, what I run into, how to talk about maintenance. It's easy. And I think as humans, we all lean into conversations that we are comfortable talking about. And when we're comfortable talking about the things that we're most confident in, right?
Yeah.
Well, dealers are not confident talking about EVs. And even the ones that are confident about talking about, say, an EV and understand what the features and benefits are, when it comes to EV infrastructure and it comes to charging and it comes to answering these everyday American questions about what it means to go electric, dude, that's where everything dies. Yeah. And so why would I spend time as a dealer trying to sell an EV when I feel so confident and get to my commissionable sale selling a gas car? And that's exactly what is happening. In fact, we have a video that we're going to be releasing soon where there was some secret shopping done at a bunch of car dealers. And what I'm telling you is straight up fact. These car dealers are actually trying to talk people out of buying an EV and into buying a combustion car because they know that they can get to the sale faster and they can get that rip. So, which opens up a whole new avenue for programs that like Hyundai just did with Amazon. So if you haven't heard about this, Jared, this is huge.
Yeah, I did. It's cool. And this is, I mean, so kind of before you leave the dealership concept is, and we're going to just to kind of lay out the land here. The biggest news, again, this is coming out the last day of November. We're live, but also this is going to air next week as well for all public consumption at any time of their pleasure. But we're going to talk about Elon and his big X interview where he had some just crazy words for some people. But he talked about marketing. He talked about that. We're going to talk about Electrify. We're going to talk about, again, right now, Amazon and how that plays a role for Electrify Expo, because the education and miseducation of people and consumers is the big one. So go ahead. Yeah, Amazon, Hyundai. That is huge. That is huge news.
I think we got to take a step back and just talk about direct sales overall, because all 50 states in the U.S. have dealer franchise laws. Mm-hmm. And basically what a dealer franchise law means is that if you're not a car dealer, you can't retail a car. Like you can't go out and sell a car if outside of a dealer showroom. But you know, you take a brand like Tesla. Tesla has been able to successfully navigate direct sales, and you know, they sell direct pretty much everywhere. And in the few states that that don't allow either a direct sale or a service center, they've been able to successfully navigate that. Like, for example, in New Mexico, you cannot do a direct sale, Jared, and you cannot have a service center. And by service center, I mean, like, let's say you buy a car somewhere else. Let's say I bought a Tesla outside of New Mexico. There would be no place inside New Mexico to service that vehicle, like totally extinguishing any desire that somebody might have to buy a Tesla next to New Mexico. And what Tesla did is, from what I understand, you might want to check my facts on this, but they went to tribal land and they started to put their stores on tribal land, and they worked with those reservations to make sure that they had tribal employees working in those. I mean, it's a great scenario for people in New Mexico who want to buy a Tesla. So there have been companies like that who have been able to successfully navigate it. Now enter in the largest retail business in the world. I mean, 63% of American consumers shop on Amazon. Yep. And now they're getting into the retail car business. So how Hyundai, and if that includes Kia and Genesis, I don't know. Right now they're just talking about Hyundai. But how Hyundai has been able to navigate this will be interesting. But the way that I understand it and the way that I read about it is that you can have your car directly delivered to you from Amazon. You can get financed through Amazon. And you can also choose to have the dealer deliver it. So there's an option there. But this is huge, because here's what happens. If consumers, an everyday American consumer, is not getting answers to their questions at the dealer level, well, guess what happens? Electrify Expo becomes point of sale, because now not only are you getting your questions answered, but you're also able to test drive everything imaginable. Like, by the time you leave Expo, you know what you want to buy, and now you just transact on Amazon. Like, this is, and all the news is pointing to that other auto manufacturers are going to follow suit. Like, this doesn't look like it's just going to be a Hyundai thing. Hyundai just happens to be leading the way. So this is huge.
And they're leading the way in so many different departments, right? Categories, price point, the luxury Genesis line, you say a lower Kia line. I mean, this is reminiscent of Scion Toyota or Scion Toyota Lexus, right? But now this buying thing that Saturn tried to do, just this buying experience, we're so more educated as a consumer prior when Saturn came out, right? And now you have these wildly educated consumers that now can have this tactile experience, Electrify Expo. And it's not that, I mean, there's movies about, you know, car salesmen and this sliminess to it. But, you know, giving credit where credit is due, the buying experience at some dealerships is really great. And like you said, Tesla skirting that with having stores and malls, like just changing that game. And this is just a level up experience. Some people avoid Amazon like the plague because they want to support local. You know, there's Buy Small Monday or, you know, whatever. And we got Cyber Thursday, obviously, which is going down right now, you know, in just hours, and Cybertruck. But again, back to this buying experience is completely changing the game. And that's what Carvana tried to do, obviously, you know, really kind of twisting the screws when COVID hit, you know, building their big, you know, kind of, what do you call vending machines? Yeah. And delivering it, that buying experience, I think, really shifted the train of thought. But this, like you said, it still does feed into dealerships too. So like you said, this is a good complement of all of the aspects that are available.
This is just mind-blowing, the transition that's happening to this specific industry. Like, there's so much change happening, not just to the technology around how these vehicles get around. I mean, I always say that, you know, the transition that we're having today with gas going to EV is akin to horse and carriage going to combustion. Yeah. Like, it's that radical. But then also have the industry now starting to go more direct to consumer. I mean, that this is a big deal. And I hope that that the dealers can benefit from this, because if dealers are delivering cars, I'm sure that they're cut into this deal. But, you know, the opportunity for consumers to experience vehicles and other electric vehicles at Electrify Expo and be able to transact right there, like, that's an optimal consumer experience, really. No
like
hassle.
I said early on, pulling back that curtain, that transparency is what's really key here, because the consumer has the power now. Like, I mean, you know, just an old magazine, right? Consumer Reports. Now we're just clicks away from finding out really the soul of it. What's the motivation? But yeah, go ahead.
Well, and you know, and all this transition is disruptive and it's uncomfortable. Yeah. This kind of transition is super uncomfortable. So when change is happening, things like a letter goes out to the Biden administration from car dealers. This happened earlier this week or late last week. And basically what the letter said, that came primarily from the Detroit 3 dealers, as well as a couple others, basically said, hey, Biden, slow your roll on EVs. You know, the consumer demand isn't there. And that's not what we're experiencing in the trenches. We are experiencing all-time curiosity. Okay. What we're also experiencing is all-time frustration between consumers and the dealer, because the dealers don't know how to sell EVs. So I get that, you know, dealers want to send a letter to the administration to say, slow your roll. But what I think should really happen is dealers need to be better equipped to sell EVs. And that goes beyond just knowing how to sell features and benefits of the vehicle. And it has to make them EV experts at what's happening in the industry with infrastructure. They have to know how to handle the FAQs from the everyday American consumer. And if they don't, then, well, we already know what happens when they don't. This is what happens. Yeah.
They go away, they fade away. And it was interesting. I'm going to kind of, you know, if you want to touch any more on Hyundai switching to, you know, buying, you can purchase a car on Amazon. I'd love for you to touch on that. But great segue into Elon Musk, you know, doing the New York Times X interview. What a profound transparency of Elon Musk and saying, you know, go fuck yourself. I'll just throw it out there. I'm quoting his interview and calling out advertising as it's just really interesting dialogue. But something you just spoke about is Biden, EVs, and him, you know, Biden having this meeting with all these big manufacturers, and Tesla, as he pronounces it, Tesla, not being invited to that summit of EV vehicles. He says, we made 200,000 vehicles, and Chevy at the time made 27, and they weren't invited. I thought that was a really interesting snippet that, again, fact checking it, I don't know, but I'm assuming that he's going out on a limb and quoting a fact. But what an interesting dialogue Elon created. And again, segueing into that, but if you have anything else about Hyundai and Amazon and again, that buying experience.
Yeah, it was a pretty riveting interview, you know, and it was, you know, a part of this New York Times summit with, you know, a handpicked moderator who spent a lot of time trying to figure out what he was going to interview Elon about. And, you know, the first 20 or 25 minutes, there was certainly a direction that moderator wanted to take the interview. And I think that, you know, Elon, when you think about, this is just my personal opinion, but when you think about X and what he is trying to do and what he has said his stated goal is with X is to provide a free speech platform. I mean, Elon is just being representative of a free speech platform during that interview. Elon, you know, should have the right to say in that interview how he feels about, you know, advertisers backing out of his platform and how it might impact his company. So, you know, he's certainly, modeling what free speech is about. I mean, to his credit, you know, he's also apologized for some things that he said on X that he rushed into or didn't do a really good job of giving context to, or wish he would have given more context to, which, you know, sometimes, like, Jared, I've tried to be pretty careful on social as I've gotten older, which probably means I use it less because I don't know if you're an off the cuff kind of guy. Are you the off the cuff kind of guy? Or are you kind of like,
I got a temper. I've written out things and completely deleted them because, you know, it's really hard to break the concrete of somebody's opinion if it's already dry. If it's supple and you got some clay and it's malleable, sure. And if somebody's, you know, whatever, if somebody attacks my family, yeah, you know, obviously I'm going to do that. But when it comes to opinion, it's like the dude, Big Lebowski, it's just like your opinion, man. You know, so you kind of have to let it go off a duck's back. And so again, talking about that, it was Andrew Ross Sorkin who interviewed him, and he knew, and he went into it and said on that New York Times deal, he's the Deal Book Summit, and it's an hour and a half. So if you got a time, I listen to it. You text it to me and I listen to it. I had a great long drive, and he goes all over the place, and he does apologize. He does have some polarizing statements. He's a marketer. You know, he boo-hoos advertising, but at the end of the day, he is the advertising. I mean, he named a company the Boring Company and has a flamethrower that sold for $1,000. Like, that's marketing. You know what I mean? And Tesla and SpaceX and him talking about free patents, and he's going against the grain, you know, on four of them that is challenging because of the betterment. So am I a fan of Elon? I am, because it's polarization. I mean, he's just like Walt Disney, right? So he's boo-hooing somebody like Bob Iger, and he's calling, or, you know, Iger, and he's calling him out. But at the same time, he's in marketing, he's in sales, and he's doing a damn good job selling it. You know what I mean? And he's saying, come along on this ride. And I think it's interesting because we're talking about him, right? So,
well, I think the thing with social media is that it doesn't provide you oftentimes an opportunity to put a thought into like full context, unless you're really going to take the time to do it. And so, you know, at times you can retweet something just because it's either interesting and people might think you're agreeing with it, or you're commenting on something or replying to something with not enough context. And then, you know, you realize, hey, that could be perceived in a different way. And he said that's happened to him a handful of times. And so I thought that part of the human side of, you know, learning to learning more about Elon was interesting. But, you know, I think overall, all his endeavors and Starlink and Tesla, of course, and SpaceX and these other companies that he has is really making a positive impact on Earth. So, you know, there's a big target on his back, I know, and he is disrupting. I mean, we wouldn't be here talking about EVs if it wasn't for Tesla, because I guarantee you that the legacy automakers wouldn't have been pushing necessarily an electrified version of their products if there wasn't, you know, a potential threat. So I think now the good thing is that there's really competitive products in the space that are giving Tesla a run for their money, or in some case better in terms of quality. So one kind of side note on the flamethrower story, did you know that he does these things, right? He just for the heck of it will come out with a product and put it up on his website and people will buy it. But the flamethrower was an interesting one, and because when he went to go ship it, and I was listening to a podcast about him about this, he went to go ship, did you know that they couldn't ship, like the post office would not ship flamethrowers?
Yeah,
because on the box
you had to do the, yeah, go ahead.
So the way that I understand is on the box it said, you know, it was a flamethrower. And so the way that he got around that on the box was he put on the box, not a flamethrower.
I mean, is that legal? I don't know. Like, why would you even do that? And again, he skirts the issue. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, buyer beware, you know, and he just has these polar. And again, if you know, you're on the fence on Elon, or you're a raving fan, or if you're a raving hater, to your point, you know, rhetoric is rhetoric. If you're just taking something as, and it's a telephone game, right? That's just like, again, the sky is falling. Well, are like, did you educate yourself or you're just taking somebody's opinion as your own? So, you know, I do recommend that watch and that listen. I just had it playing. You don't really need the visuals, just two dudes sitting in a chair, but, and his speech cadence is off as it throws me off. Sounds, you know, obviously a bit South African and ASMR. He kind of licks his lips a little bit too much in my liking. But at some point he asks his questions and he says, why is it? And he says, a tough upbringing and this and that. And he says, man, I didn't know this was therapy. I mean, I thought, you know, he got into his head because he did know him intimately. But, you know, as far as Tesla, EV, I thought that was interesting about open patents, how many they hold, because it's ready for consumption to share. But he says, you know, he only registers the patents so there aren't patent trolls. So we're kind of paraphrasing and taking some little quips out of his interview. What else stood out to you in regards to application of Electrify Expo and you having you and your team and even I being top of mind of things? What stood out to you in
well,
that interview?
I think we're anticipating and expecting Tesla to return to Electrify Expo in 2024 for all eight stops. And I think a lot of people are really curious about today, Cyber Thursday, and what it's going to entail. Because, you know, I don't know if you've seen this, Jared, but when they there was a launch event for Cybertruck. I don't know how long ago it was, but it was a little while ago. And they launched Cybertruck. They showed it to the world. And have you seen Cybertruck in person?
I haven't. I've seen a lot of videos of fitment and showing off, but I remember the initial video of the window being bulletproof and they threw a ball at it and it was a big, big metal ball and it broke. So yeah, that was,
broke the window.
But people claim that that was a troll because you're seeing somebody fail and obviously you could better the glass. It's the first one out there. So, I mean, how does cybersecurity happen? You hire the hackers, right? So you hire the hackers to protect yourself against the, I mean, we've seen this in the movies. You've seen this, right? So you hire a troll to be the troll. So Elon trolls on trolls, you know what I mean? So here we are engaging and talking about it, but that launch, and I have not seen one in person. I love the wraps. They wrap it like an F-150. They wrap it like a Tundra. They're doing all these things and people are questioning the fitment, but I have to think that it has to come out guns a-blazing, no pun intended, because there's a lot of anticipation for this DeLorean EV truck thing. You know, I mean, it showed up in rap videos before anybody else saw it. Like it's marketing 101.
Yeah, they're really good at it. We had one roll through Electrify Expo Austin and we got to see it in person. You know, being here in the Austin area next to Giga Texas, we see a little bit more things running around town. The engineers doing their testing, but we did have one roll through Austin, and pictures don't do it justice. I'll say it just because I'm a car guy. Like, there's a lot of reservations for this truck, a lot. It's not my speed, but I did happen to see a video of it. I think it's a guy's name out in California who's
CNC Picks
Franz.
I saw CNC Picks. Yep.
There was a black one running around California, a matte black one, mm-hmm. which looked really, really good. But, you know, today, I don't know if they're certainly going to reveal pricing. Will they reveal different trim levels? Will they reveal different colors? Will we be able to see them? I hope so. A lot of people have been waiting for this. I think it's been 4 years since they launched it and now it's here. And the idea of I don't know how they're doing this. I don't know how they're doing this with profit. Because, you know, the way that you have to stamp these, well, it's stainless, first of all, right? It's so how you got to stamp these, the body and I mean, it's just, it's wicked crazy. But that's typical Tesla, just getting it done and delivering on that concept. So I'm really excited to see that go down today. And hopefully all those people that have reservations, they ante up. And they buy this truck, and that's the same thing for all these other reservations that you're putting in on. You support these brands that are also investing millions and millions of dollars into launching these vehicles. It's quite the project, and I couldn't imagine how hard it was to put this one together. So yeah, excited for that. I think it's really big news for the industry, and you know we expect a Cybertruck to be at every event next year. So that's pretty exciting. I know that Tesla's got some other things up their sleeve for next year that everyone's looking to see what they're going to do with new products and refresh products. So it's going to be a big year. 2024 is a big year, Jared, for this industry because more and more competition are coming into the fray. Like, I think we're expecting over 20 auto manufacturers to be participating at Expo next year. So, I mean, stack that up next to any other show in the US and we're going to be showing people things that they can't see anywhere else.
Yeah. I'm stoked to be on this journey selfishly, but I think just my angle and stance at this, I think is a lot of the general public's and you talk about that buying experience and the engagement. It's scary. It's frightening. And it's the miseducation leads people down the wrong path. Something like Electrify Expo brings a lot of education to a lot of people in that area. It's all in one area. You're kind of surrounded by loyalists and it's going into a rap studio and you listen to rock and roll. You know what I mean? You're like, hey, tell me what's the history of hip hop? You know what I mean? Like, sorry, you can't know all the music. It's okay to see, you know, again, you see these things on social media talking about it again. You'd rather have somebody say, you're going to trust somebody says, I don't know, as opposed to they know everything. Because that person, they don't know everything. Just admit that you don't know it all. So when you go to Electrify Expo and you go in with this kind of, your arms are open, your body language is saying you're receptive. You're more of an antenna as opposed to a brick wall. If you go in there with that open mind, that open heart, and that open philosophy of, like you say, it's the horse carriage going to the motor car. And you still had to get, you still had to get the fuel. So you use the horse carriage, go get the fuel to fill up the car. So this isn't just an overnight thing. And again, hitting that 1%, it's 1% that we just occupied. I learned so much on a previous podcast. I'm trying to escape. His name escapes me. We do a lot of these things every week, but a lot of information there. And he talked about
Lauren McDonald. Dude. Yeah.
Gosh, just such a wealth of knowledge in specifically to the space, you know, Matt and I just really got into it and they know each other intimately. And it was so cool, man. And like you said, these manufacturers, how it's coming up, these events, I mean, there's a lot of noise and we're going 100 miles per hour. COVID hits, we went to zero. Now we're going a buck 30. I mean, it's so exciting. You talked about Vaughn. I was with Vaughn yesterday. And we shot a video out in Johnson Valley where King of the Hammers is, and we did a really fun video. It's coming up. Stay tuned. And but nothing EV oriented, but Vaughn is constantly progressing and doing things, and it's that kind of personality and person. Even Travis Pastrana, you know, gonna watch the debut of Electricana. You know, Ken Block, RIP, KB forever. His last Audi video. That's debuting next week. Going to go to a premiere actually here in Southern California. So the people that are,
I saw Leah got a ride too.
Leah Block is racing with Williams. So yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, her and my son have become really close friends over last year. They knew each other. I have a photo of them when they were babies, and 10 years later, they've really kind of grown up together. It's really cool. And obviously KB forever, and shout out to Lucy, Micah, Kira, and of course Leah. But yeah, just this advancement. And, you know, I think there are murmurs of Leah actually racing Group E in Nitro Cross. We have Nitro Cross coming up. Glen Helen, have you been to a Nitro Cross race yet?
I have not been to one yet.
Oh, dude. Well, come on I got a guy.
They've activated at our events to show off the, I guess it's Travis's car, right?
Yeah, the Group E, it's the Group E FC1X. So it's 1,000 horsepower, all electric, all wheel drive, December 9th and 10th at Glen Helen Raceway. So if you're in Southern California, please join us out there. It's gonna be a party. Some amazing talented drivers. But again, all this, getting back to where I was kind of starting of this education and misinformation, it's fun to be on this journey with you because, BJ, do you know everything about EV?
No.
Exactly. And that's where it lies of, you know, I'm not a good student, but I'm willing to learn. You know, I can't sit in a chair for, you know, longer than an hour because outside of getting tattooed. But I think just, you know, we're never going to know it all. And if you could gather all that information, Electrify Expo is such a great place to gather all that information and education. What other topics are exciting you right now? Again, you're talking about 2024, exciting manufacturers. Anything else? Any groundswells? Like you said, you're next to Giga Texas and what's going on. Anything else?
Well, I mean, there are a couple of things brewing with Expo that have been pretty interesting. I mean, Show Off has really grown in 1 year, and Neil Jin and the team there have created something that is turning into, you know, what SEMA was many decades ago and when it was bubbling up. And so we've addressed this early, and now, you know, that thing is turning into, you know, a couple hundred and more thousand square feet, a couple hundred thousand square feet or more. So that's really growing. I'm really excited about it. But it's also kind of put the light bulb on for us to say, hey, there's some other things that are happening. And so we're seeing that happening in outdoors. A lot of things are going getting electrified in the outdoor space. So we're obviously talking about overlanding, but we're talking about power sports. Power sports is coming online, man, and it's coming fast. So we're expecting to see a lot more of that. So we'll have like these different zones where these industries that are really now ready to release their products, you're going to see them, and it's going to blow people's minds because you never thought this would be electric. But definitely power sports. When I say power sports, I'm talking about everything from electric dirt bikes to side-by-sides, to kind of, you know, RVs and you know, outdoor equipment. No, that's really exciting. And then motorsports too. Like there's some really fun things happening in the motorsports world. So there'll be a lot more to look at next year, and we're excited to talk more about it here in the months ahead. But obviously, as always, I really appreciate this time to be on with you and listen to you every week with the amazing guests that you have, and you know, appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about what's happening in this industry and to address it from someone who doesn't have to hear it from the news. We hear it from the everyday consumer, and we hear it in the thousands. And so I just wanted to have a moment to talk about that and how important it was for the industry to hear what's really going on.
Yeah, it's really exciting, man. And it's we need to, you know, admittedly, I don't have an EV car, but you know, my Tundra out in Johnson Valley yesterday kind of coughed, had a little hiccup yesterday. It's like, oh man, maybe. But again, this is the right tool for the right job, or the right tool for the job, you know, and Snap-on's kind of motto. So what is the job that I need to build, right? And that's the solution. So creating that solution, either it be a vehicle or a bike or whatever. So, you know, I drove
a Grenadier. There is someone shipping new products today. The new truck. Oh, new truck is hitting the market today.
I know. And maybe it's your time. I think I put $100 down on one, and then I was like, what am I doing here? Like, I drove a Ineos Grenadier. Have you seen that? It's a combustion engine.
No, I know the brand.
Yeah. So Ineos, it's a Grenadier. They use a BMW power plant, inline six turbo, really cool car. Radcliffe dude wanted to buy a Defender factory. They said, no, he says, all right, screw it. So kind of an Elon theory of like, all right, I'm going to do it myself. So, but you know, yeah, I like the Rivian truck as well. I have a few friends that love theirs. I think that's a great application. But yeah, this is really fun, man. Thank you again for having me. The president and the State of the Union, I think, it's electrifying. It's really cool, shaking things up. And you know, go to Electrify Expo. My schedule is so freaking slammed. I'm actually catching a flight tonight to go to New Zealand, and then I got Nitro Cross. So I just got back from Japan last weekend, but the fervor all around is really cool. So keep sharing them. BJ, thanks again, man. But anything else? Closing thoughts? Check out Electrify News, Electrify Expo. Get there in person. Anything else?
All of that. Our season starts in March next year in Orlando. You can check out the 2024 dates right on electrifyexpo.com. So go check it out. And if you're looking to get involved and participate at Expo, we're looking forward to talking to you too. And you can learn more about that through the website.
Yeah, there's so many great manufacturers, and you know, just even from fuel to electric, that kind of website that is a base, and 70 questions. That was our most recent one. That's just dropping actually today. But the mind sharing is really cool, and I think that's what's really great. There's misinformation out there, but go to the source, find out. Electrify Expo, either here on this podcast, and I go in just inquisitive, and that's what I think a lot of people are. And that's why they're listening to it. Maybe they're like, oh, you know, I have the 66 Mustang. I want to go EV. Or, you know, I have this vehicle. Like, again, our conversation about, you know, is a Cybertruck the right fit for me? I love a DeLorean. So it is my style, BJ. You might not like it. I think it's dope. So I'm like, you know, I'm ready for to have a Mr. Fusion on the back, or, you know, a flux capacitor. I do have a flux capacitor tattoo. So it speaks to me. But thank you again, BJ. And I will make it to Electrify Expo next year. I promise. And I think we should do live podcasting there. But thank you so much for all that you do for the EV world and for me and my family as well. So I'll see you in the new year, man. Or I'll see you at Nitrocross next weekend.
See you guys.
Thanks, BJ. All right. Peace. Thanks for listening to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo. Be sure to catch full video episodes on YouTube at Electrify TV and follow along on social media for daily clips and more.